Theme song!
Separated.
Hey! Man, you're disrespecting me. Take them out.
You gotta keep them separated.
That felt like Halloween. That was really scary. That was I didn't expect that.
A little Halloween come early. In the famous words, you know, there was one time we filmed a skit and they asked what we were doing. And I said to those people, I said boldly, it's just a little Halloween come early. My famous quote.
You didn't say that. You motherfucker.
Who said it?
Oh, wow. Convenient. Wow,
number one comedy man.
Well,
okay.
Sean Chatfield.
What's your take on the story? I heard Rocco's version. What's your version?
My version is I said that, and Rocco brought up to me a lot about how funny I am and how much he appreciates being around.
That doesn't
me.
Sound like something Rocco would do.
That's that character.
Exactly.
So I vividly remember this.
You know what, though? There comes a point, someone's got to take credit, and I fucking did it.
Good
Sorry.
Job. Well done.
You weren't promoting that you said that funny quote today, so I did it.
I didn't think about saying that. 13 years ago, I had a really funny quote, and I fucking killed it.
Well,
first of
you
all,
know what?
It was probably 5 years
You're
ago.
In good company, because Rocco steals jokes from Sacha Baron Cohen and
that's true.
Stephen Colbert, and pretty much any funny person out there.
Stephen Colbert.
He'll just
steal all his bits.
He'll just repeat the quote and then just take the credit for it himself. So
okay.
I've stolen all Colbert-isms.
You totally do.
I stole them all. I haven't watched Stephen Colbert in probably a decade.
You read something he said, it's funny, and you pass it off on your own. I see it happen on a daily basis, so you can't deny that it happens, because I see it all the time. It just happened with Sean.
Yeah.
He wasn't, but if he's not going to take credit, someone has to. You know, that's the way creative works work. Is if no one's around to take credit for someone has
to. Hey, camera on me. I created Star Wars. Because I don't see anyone fighting me on that. George isn't fucking here.
Yeah, George is eating Chinese food at the mall.
Han Solo is my idea.
Well, I don't get it because you are here and he still took credit for.
That's a good point.
What do you mean
Both
Sean's not
logic.
Around
yeah,
to take
Sean's
credit?
Sitting
you're right.
Here thinking about
Thank
the Olympics.
You, Derek.
She's sitting
Thank
right
you.
Here.
I'm not.
Sitting here thinking about the Olympics.
I was
He's not talking about it.
I was not.
I miss E3. That was a really fun week of video games. Now, I don't know what I walked into here. Kurosawa invented Star Wars. George Lucas ripped him off. But that's a whole separate story.
Hold on. Fuck that.
Yeah.
We have a friend who saw George Lucas eating Chinese food.
Oh, yeah.
And it just needs to be known. He does that. He's not too good for that. And I think that's cool.
He eats more Chinese food?
Not only did he create Star Wars, but he's still a real G. He'll eat Panda Express.
Orange
he's not like,
chicken chow mein, hold the soy.
He's not like, well, only Nobu for me. Nope. Give that man some orange chicken.
More like Nabu. Woo!
I'll
be making Star Wars puns every which way I could get them.
Wait, but he didn't take credit for the joke. I wrote that. Credit your jokes after you say them from now on.
Okay.
Naboo, thank you. That was me.
Only credit if it's like a good joke. If it bombs, then you can blame that on someone
I thought
else.
That was a good joke. I liked what he said, and I took it.
What kind of narcissist would credit their own joke after it's done?
To make sure no one takes it. Yeah. That's what you got to do, and this is a post-Mencia world.
Yeah.
You got to say it. You know, I'm trying to think what's a good joke.
What's a...
I need to
seven words you can't say on TV.
Yeah, piss, shit, fuck. Thank you. That was a Rocco Bodhi
Wow.
Original.
And you nailed it.
The three wise words.
Fuck, shit, ass, bitch, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits.
Yeah, you're doing a remix of my joke.
It's a George Carlin joke.
Yeah, but he's dead.
It's so famously.
He's dead though.
Famous. Next, you're going to be doing What's the Deal with Airline Food? Rocco Bodhi original.
Seinfeld's alive. I would not do that.
Yeah.
I'm alive, fucker.
I didn't see you this weekend. You were doing Father's Day stuff this weekend.
I was doing Father's Day stuff.
Father's Day. This is a dual weekend. dual dad weekend, Father's Day and Sean's birthday.
That's the best weekend.
So what was better in the battle of
the two? How did you do that? How did you time your birthday to be on Father's Day?
Yeah, it's almost like you were
going to
be a dad.
Next year, my birthday is going to be on Father's Day.
Forethought.
Really?
Yeah, next year.
Wow.
Oh, shit. That's going to be like Third Impact.
Yeah. I'm just going to rule that day.
Well, yeah, what, yeah, what, I mean, do you do anything fun? Anything fun to report?
Yeah, I did a lot of fun stuff.
Did you have sex?
Well, if you want to know, I did.
Yeah! That's what got you into this.
I don't buy it.
What got you into this pickle in the first place.
Actually, maybe Rocco had sex. Was anybody there to take credit for it?
I was there.
No, no one wanted to take
credit. Ginny was also there.
Who else?
It was just the two of us. It was just a kind of a
Guys went vanilla this
boring.
Week.
Boring.
We didn't, but well.
Boring.
Rocking with that joke. Anyways.
Thank you.
I had a lot of fun. I saw Incredibles 2. I don't know if anyone saw that movie.
I did, actually.
I thought it was better than the first one because I didn't like the first one. So
I don't dislike the first one. I like it, but it was never my favorite. You know what I mean? But I didn't think this one was as good as that one.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't really care.
To me, I thought this is a better superhero movie than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I felt the same way about this as Finding Dory. I was like, this didn't bring anything new to the table, and I was bored.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wasn't looking for anything new.
Brought kids' asses to the seats.
I was looking for a fun superhero movie, and I got it. So... I liked it.
Did it have that new Pixar wait? Did you cry? Like, was it juicy? No, just fluff.
It was predictable story everything, but I didn't care. It was fun.
That's where we're at with Pixar movies.
I think that Pixar has held some weird standard where, like, if you don't cry, then the movie's not good. That's not true. You can see a movie and just to go see a fun superhero movie, which I did. And it was fun, and my kids liked it. So.
I'm just referencing your review of Predictable Story, but I didn't care.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, but here's the thing is, like, it's a kid's movie.
Fun for the whole family.
It was. I took my kids to a movie, and I had a good time, too. So
nice.
What else can you say?
Oh, yeah. Did you get snacks?
We got popcorn, and Father's Day, I went to a shooting range, and I shot some guns.
Whoa, wow. Really?
Yeah.
Getting back to the movie snacks.
Did your youngest one?
No, I didn't go with that.
You strike me as a guy who would not ever pay for movie snacks. Like, you...
Yes.
I feel... I don't know this, but I'm going to assume that...
Yeah, very cheap.
It's like fucking John Rambo shit, bringing snacks into the theater. Like, you're going to make that happen, but you're not buying them movie theater.
You're so right.
I just knew it.
Yeah. Well, because...
You just have this vibe, like...
That I don't like spending money?
Yes. No. Oh, not
that,
even...
That is the truth.
No, because you'll spend money, but... I think when you have decided that you can save money by doing all this extra shit, you'll die before you don't do that extra
100%
shit.
100% right. You do know me very well. But the theater that we went to, they remodeled it and a new company took over. Tickets are cheap and an unlimited popcorn is $6. And you made it cheap enough where it's like, all right, $6.
What theater is that?
It's one in Grossmont. It's not worth it to me to sneak all the stuff in like I used to do. I'll just pay the $6, get the unlimited popcorn. If I need a refill, I'll get it. You know, let's call it a day. So I did that. Fun day. Thank you.
I went to Disneyland with my family. They wanted to go for like a Father's Day thing. And it was dead. Oh my God,
really?
There was nobody there. Yeah.
For Father's Day?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Everybody I told about it was like, oh, good luck. That's going to be a madhouse. And I think everyone thought that because nobody came. So that was good.
Hell yeah. That's cool. Very cool. What did anybody else do? Anything fun?
I fucking took a nap.
I played
video games. Hell I had a very self-indulgent day. I jerked it a couple times. It was great.
You rule.
Right. Hell yeah.
You rule.
I played Wreckfest, which is a new demo derby racing game on Steam.
I saw you playing that. It looks really cool.
It's fucking great. It's a game I haven't experienced. Like, the last time I played a game like that was, like, literally there's a game called Fallout on Xbox Original back in, like, 2003, 2004. And I would just play it constantly online and crash into other people and just be a little asshole.
Yeah.
And now I have that again. It's really fun. It's also a great game to listen to podcasts. I love it. And, like... I haven't played a game like that in a long time, like just where I can just sit and be isolated and just like chill out with
it's
it.
It's like $50 though, right?
Yeah, that's the weird. The price is kind of steep. It's $45. It's this weird point. It's not a full price game. It's not like a budget title. But hey, wishlist it. When it goes on sale, get it. It'll also be on PS4 in the fall. But yeah, Wreckfest. Graphics are great. The physics are amazing. And there's a lot of like fun modes where you can just There's like lawnmower demo derbies. There's school bus demo derbies. You can go off jumps. There's actual races. Like, it's really intense and just like really satisfying.
Cool.
But yeah, that's what I did on Father's Day. I played a racing game by myself.
Well, on lawnmowers.
Yeah.
Which is good. A dad thing to do, to ride a lawnmower.
Hell
so
yeah.
I think that's there. Cool. Well, Rocco, you went to E3.
Yeah. Me, Frank, Kevin. Yeah, E3 was this last week. We went and I ended up having a lot of fun this year. Sometimes E3 is like a mess, and it's kind of like, all right, let's just do what we got to do and get out. But this year was really fun. I would say overall, in terms of like all the like announcements, you know, or whatever, just all the press, the things that happened during the week in general, I feel like this E3 was really good for games that we already knew about, you know what I mean, showing their best stuff. All the games that I knew about that I was looking forward to all had great showings where, you know, okay, we got some more Death Stranding, we got some you know, that Sucker Punch game, what is the Japanese game,
Ghost of Tsushima,
you know, hadn't heard about that in a while, but footage looked great. Yeah, you know, cool. Last of Us 2, we knew they were gonna show something, looked great, you know, everything that we knew about I thought looked really good. In terms of new games, I kind of felt like this E3 was kind of a little bit, I don't know,
Resident
I don't know how you
2,
felt.
Right? Was that
yeah.
That's but that had game. Been announced.
That had been announced. Yeah. First
that had been announced
play.
A long time yeah. ago. But again, we saw it for the first time, and it looked amazing. And we got to play it.
Yeah.
As soon as we got to E3, we raced to that. And I mean, I was blown away by it. Because what they did a great job with, and I can't think of another game like this that I could quite say this about. It's a fantastically done new game and old game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it will make two groups of people happy. Like, if you loved old-style Resident Evil, well, wow, they remade one of the best ones from top to bottom, and it looks incredible. But then if you got into Resident Evil at Resident Evil 4, mm-hmm. it feels, even though it's a remake of an older game, it feels like the true sequel to that, you know? It was great. I mean, I think you agree, right?
Yeah,
I was blown away.
Resident Evil is like one of my favorite franchises. Yeah. Resident Evil 2, I have such strong memories playing it as a kid. So I was like dying to try it. And I love it because I said this, it feels like the perfect blend between like Resident Evil 4 and Resident Evil 7, where it has 4's kind of snappy like gunplay, but it's not super arcadey and fast. It has the weight and horror of 7.
Yes.
It's super dark. Stuff is popping out. Not like jump scare, but you feel the weight building. And it's got like, you know, limited inventory system. It looks like it'll be crafted. You can make bullets and stuff. And it feels great. It feels great. And what I like about this E3, not a ton of new surprises, but it's all games coming out within like 6 months. You know? Resident Evil's January at Namco Bando, whatever the fuck, I can never say
Namco
right.
Namco Bando. Wait, we need to resolve that now.
I can never
that
say
that. That was the entire E3. Can we go see Namco Bando? It's Namco Bandai.
They were
really kind to us this year and let us play all their games
behind
the scenes. So I want to get their name right.
Namco Bandai. I played Soul Calibur 6. I played Geralt from The Witcher. That's what I love about Soul Calibur. They always have dumb guest characters. And this time it's The Witcher. And oh, it fucking feels great. I played Code Vein. We both did. That's their new anime Dark Souls. Better than I expected.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It's really cool. Code Vein has a co-op system. You're partnered with AI. But because you're partnered with AI, it kind of makes it a little bit easier than traditional Dark Souls because they can bait your enemies. And, like, I don't know, it's really fun and snappy. I liked it. We saw the Neo Geo Mini, which is, like, incredible. It's a mini Neo Geo that has 40 Neo Geo games on it and, like, a really crisp LCD. There's a joypad fight stick on it, and people can plug in controllers. That was really cool. Yeah, those and I played Dragon Quest XI, which was so charming. It has all the Dragon Ball, like, that art. Oh, fucking great.
So we should bring up when we were playing those all the Namco Bandai games, they asked us for some thoughts, you know, on camera.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, can you just record some thoughts? You just played Code Vein, you just played Jump Force.
Mm-hmm.
I just played Jump Force. So they were like, yeah, talk about that. And I always try to give them the most hype promo, you know.
Yeah.
Yo, this game, if you're not here, where are you? I'm saying it right here, game of the show, right here. You know, I was excited to play it, so I always try to amp up that hype. But because of that, they put up a video of me doing that, and they filmed me with Soulja Boy. So I'm now in a video with Soulja Boy, Lil Yachty, and me, the perfect...
They finally are together.
Finally, the trilogy is complete. So.
Soulja Boy featuring Rocco Bodie. It happened.
We're going to... Yeah, anyway, so
talking about anime.
I think that video is on Namco Bandai's Twitter.
And YouTube.
And I think I'm like blowing out the mic with the stuff that I'm saying. That was the only part I was like, did I fuck up the audio?
No, it's good. It's Soulja Boy. You gotta get hype.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But anyway.
Do you think Soulja Boy watched that video?
Yeah, he's probably like, who's that guy?
He's probably like, damn, that guy one-upped me.
Yeah,
fuck.
That guy did better than I did. Him.
Fuck.
Yeah.
They didn't tell me Rocco Bodhi was going to be going on before me.
He made Soulja Boy self-conscious.
He said, I'm going to have to... Superman, that hoe. Did Is you, that what he said?
Yeah. Make Soulja Boy look like Private Boy.
Who wrote that joke?
Private Man.
Claim it. It's a good one.
Oh, I'm going to claim
Derek,
it in about 2 seconds.
Derek, claim
you
that joke. It's a good one.
If you don't copyright it.
Written by?
Make Soulja Boy look like Civilian Boy.
All right.
I didn't write
I
that
gave one. You. Hey, I gave you the moment. Thank you, everybody. I wrote that joke.
Oh, shit. But,
Derek,
that's every Mega 64 bit. I'm used to it.
Oh, man.
Got him.
Anyway.
Got him. Did we... I honestly, let me be real. I did not watch your appearance on the Jeff Keighley stream.
Oh, yeah.
We were filming the newest Flame War Theater.
Yeah.
And we were busy.
That's why I wasn't... Yeah, I wasn't there.
Did you say inflation?
I talked about inflatables on the stage.
And just do, you know, just have fun. Turn off the video games, put some inflatables on stage. And just,
pool party.
Yeah. When they asked what I'd like to see at Ubisoft, I said, we've announced enough games. They should just have some fun. And I said, throw some inflatables on the stage. So I got that in there.
Cool.
KUSI wasn't there to take credit for
no,
the bit,
no,
so.
No, but I was, fortunately.
Did Jeff, was he in support of that idea?
When I did this, I've done bits on his show before, and I never can gauge it.
I did Marcus like, in the Corner with him, and I still thought he hated me for like years.
Because he made a joke about like the time slot of his show or something, and it was just like, is everything okay? Yikes. Okay. And last year, I kind of couldn't tell. You know, I never know. So I sent him an email last year, even like, hey, I hope I didn't ruin your show or anything. But no, they brought me back. I came on. I did that. And then, when we went to commercial, or not commercial, they went to the Ubisoft keynote. Jeff was like, yeah, tradition continues. I was like, oh, okay, awesome. Cool. You don't want to kill me. That's always good.
Well, I feel like their streams are filled with like the same like typical streamers. It's just like boring shit. So you come in here and it's like complete. It's different. It's fun. It's wild. It's I don't know. I don't watch any of those streams because I don't care about those kinds of people. But like, at least you're throwing something different into the mix.
Thank you.
You never know. Yeah, you're gonna do.
Yeah. So I think that's exciting.
But anyway, it was cool.
How was playing Yakuza with Brian Posehn?
Oh yeah, they asked me to be on the show on Mixer, Backseat Comics, and I was like, yeah, you want me to play a game? Yeah, sure. Okay, what is the, you know? All right, fine. But then they said, oh, there'll be comedians there, and I thought, like, what is it going to be like me and a couple other YouTube people making jokes on a game? And it ended up being Brian Posehn, Jonah Ray, Ron Funches, Brian Posehn. I mean, it was on Mr. Show for crying out loud. Yep. So once I heard that, I was like, oh my god, like this is a real thing. So anyway. We'll have to find that or clip that out or something. It was fun. I wanted to play something that wasn't going to be like Fortnite, you know, because everybody else was. I knew it was going to play some multiplayer thing. I thought something with drama would be good. So I originally wanted to play Detroit, but they said it was like kind of they said it was too traumatic. Oh. So I played Yakuza and almost never got to a fight. It was like an hour of cutscenes, and it was driving them insane. but that ended up being funny. So anyway, see for yourself. We'll put it up at some point or something. We'll figure out a way people can watch that. So cool. Anyway,
very cool. So it was a good time. What a week.
Did you see all the presentations? The E3 presentations?
I watched all of them. People kept talking shit on the Nintendo one, and my thought is Nintendo does like a direct line like four times a year.
Yeah, so, that's kind of where I'm at with that.
So they wanted to show off Smash Brothers. They did. I personally don't give a shit about Smash Brothers, but I know a lot of people do.
Hey,
so.
Ice Climbers are back.
Yeah, everyone.
That's the only thing I care about.
That's the thing is, like, I can appreciate, like, yeah, this isn't for me, but I can see that a lot of people I know are going to be excited about this. So, yeah, go ahead and, like, talk about it.
Yeah.
You want, you know, I don't know.
I think I was definitely disappointed in their presentation, but I felt the same way. It's like, well, I bet in a month they'll do another one where they'll announce a bunch of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But I did think for one during E3, it was peculiar to just only focus on that kind of. Like, they got a new Mario Party. But just in terms of, like, man, there wasn't, like, a single-player thing in there. I mean, I guess I guess the Xenoblade expansion, but that was it. You know, I was kind of bummed about
that. I mean, to me, they'll do another one.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a, like...
Yeah, I wasn't crying
Sony
about it.
Sony or Microsoft, like, this is a one-shot, really.
Yeah.
Sony kind of has two, I guess, now, but... But now, they changed the formula. So.
And they have the Switch, so they're not worried about... They have every fucking title at E3 is also coming to Switch, like, in terms of, like, indie games. Like, they have so many... They have an infinite number of games coming to the Switch that are, like, small indies. So it's, like, they're set. Also, so many people are looking forward to Smash. So it's, like, finally, here you go. Here's the big content dump.
Yeah. I just wish they had diversified it a little bit more. But whatever. They'll show something else. I actually thought, now that it's all said and done, I actually thought Microsoft had a pretty decent showing. At the actual show, it was baffling. They didn't have a booth on the show floor.
They didn't.
No. Oh, no, they're in some other building. Okay, well, we never found it and never saw any of their stuff, so okay.
That's a weird move.
But in terms of, like, their keynote, they showed a lot of, like, they showed something for everybody, I thought. I thought they did a pretty good job. A lot of great third-party
games. And it was... The reason their keynote was great because it was constant trailers. They kept the show moving. It was like 10 minutes of Forza. Other than that, constant games. So
Sony's content is the most valuable to me. Yeah. I enjoyed that personally the most. But their presentation was weird.
That whole thing. Why would you move an audience?
Yeah, my favorite part was that they moved an audience 10 minutes into it. All right, that was The Last of Us.
Intermission.
Okay, we're going to move this whole crowd to another building, but while we're doing that, let's just talk.
What we just saw.
That was so weird.
That was weird. Weird shit. Hey, you know, one thing, this isn't about E3 really anymore, but so on my birthday, I went down to Balboa Park with the family, and it was a Pokemon Community Day. Do you guys know what that is?
Mm-mm.
Community Days. Oh, so with Pokemon Go, they have this thing where, like, once a month, for 3 hours, a certain type of Pokemon is everywhere, and there's, like, special ones you can get, whatever.
This Pokemon Go?
Pokemon Go.
Okay.
So I didn't realize it was that time that day, but it was. So I got there, holy shit. Like, you think Pokemon Go is dead? It was not. Like, I have never seen a bigger crowd ever at Balboa Park. It was full. Everyone was playing together. It was, like, people barbecuing and, like, it was fucking nuts. It really was, like, a crazy cool thing that I still play it, but I just thought it was dead.
Do you know about, or have you looked into the new Pokemon they announced recently? Or, like,
the
on Switch and stuff?
Yeah. It kind of goes with Pokemon Go.
That's what I was curious about. Yeah. It's like, are you interested in that?
Yeah, I am. Actually, I legitimately am, which is funny. And today, they just announced that they'll finally let you trade Pokemon with your friends. So if I could something
God.
That, like, they just asked that from the beginning. But.
Yeah, I'm surprised it took that long, to be honest.
So now that they announced that today.
But it being integrated into a bigger console game, I think is cool. I don't know if I'll play that, but I thought that was really cool, honestly. The fact that you could be out anywhere catching stuff with that and it goes into this main game, I thought was really cool.
When Pokemon Go first came out, you'd see people in, like, Central Park, like, holy shit, this crowd. Like, everyone, like, swarming to this place. And that's exactly what I saw at Bubble Park on Saturday, so... It's crazy. It was really cool.
I was going to say, too, the one thing that I really like, because I'm just a sucker for stuff like this, is the new Pokemon, it is going to have a Pokeball, like, controller.
Yeah.
Like, you can use it as a Joy-Con. But what I love is that they talked about, the Pokemon company was saying they worked with Nintendo's, like, tech people to make it as close to a real Pokeball as if that existed.
Yeah.
Sure.
So it has all the physical things it needs to, but it... It because of all this, like, HD rumble stuff that, like, the Joy-Cons have, you know, it feels like there will be a Pokemon inside. So they said, like, when it ships, it has Mew. Like, Mew is in there. So, like, out of the box, you will feel it, you'll hear that.
So they made the most rare Pokemon the most common Pokemon.
And that's what's funny. That's what people were just saying in the chat is, it's like, you get Mew. Like, what? You have Mew out the gate? Like, that feels like the one you need to, like, hunt for, you know? But.
Yeah.
But now they're going to make fucking
someone
Pidgeotto rare as
hell. Worked really hard to get Mew
in
Pokemon Go. That pisses me off a little bit. I worked hard to get that. Doesn't matter. We'll move
it's
on.
It's the journey, not the destination.
I guess so.
Yeah.
They put all the time
in. Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah, see? What else?
I waited because I knew one day they'd pack Mew in.
Yeah,
with
that's
an
why
accessory.
I didn't walk around. I was just sitting back doing. Your kid out there.
Yeah, sorry. But anyway, it looks cool. Anyway. We've gone on long enough. Derek, I feel like we left you in the cold here. We were watching all this E3 shit. I don't think you saw any of it. I think now it's time for Derek's soapbox. Whatever you want to talk about.
Last week, I did the 48-hour film challenge.
Oh, hell yeah.
But not with any of these guys here.
Fuck.
Which was really disappointing when it was all said and done, because I would have loved to do it with you guys. I joined a random group. Shouts out to my group, if you're ever watching this. Sup? I don't have anything positive to say about this.
Oh, no.
I talked about this on a stream last week, but it reminded me of like being in high school and being assigned to a group.
Yeah.
Of people that
Ooh,
aren't
I
your friends.
I haven't felt that in a while.
Yeah, and you sit down with the group and you go like, all right, well, here's all my ideas. And they go, yeah. Well, I was thinking maybe we'd get funny with it. You know, not that anybody suggested that, but I felt like,
yeah,
you know, at the end of the day, I just had this desire, like, I wish I was in charge of this group because I make so many videos. I've made 500 plus videos here, but doing it for 15 years. Sure. That's the thing I find a lot in venturing out into the film community. It's always like, I don't want to sit around and tell you about how great I am. I just wish you fucking knew. So many times I'm talking to people and it's like, well, yeah, I filmed my sister's wedding, and let me tell you, everybody said it was the best video they've ever seen.
Yeah, it's always the sister's wedding.
Yeah, and it's like, I'm actually famous. But... can't I just say that to somebody? So I did the 48-hour film challenge last week. On Father's Day weekend, I did the NYC screenwriting challenge, which was fun but challenging. Just been doing a lot of film challenges and honing my craft.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, been the screenwriting challenge. I recommend it to anybody out there who wants to get into screenwriting. Look up the NYC Midnight Screenwriting Challenge. I'm doing it now, but it starts in April. It goes for like 5 months. There's three rounds. We just did round two over this past weekend. So I had to write an eight-minute thriller about a free diver and an experiment. They give you a character, a genre, and a plot point.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was a bummer because... Round one, I had thriller with a scuba diver. And so round two, I was preparing like, yo, if they give me comedy, I'm going to do funny shit. Right. If they give me a romance, I'll make them cry. The one thing I didn't anticipate is that they'd assign me the same thing. Like, do another thriller about a diver, but this time there's no scuba gear. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I thought about writing a prequel to my round one thing, but then I thought, nah, you'd have to read both to get it.
Yeah, so you wouldn't know. Yeah.
I changed it up. So that's what I was doing this weekend.
Cool.
And and had a super awesome showdown show as well, which is really sad now that Eric is gone. And Brian wasn't there either. You were out of town.
That was your partner in crime.
Brian was Eric's replacement.
So you're doing solo.
Actually, I had John Wanzer step in.
Okay, cool.
My good friend John, who played John in Mega 64. Really? He came out and helped out. So
cool.
Busy weekend. Not busy with Mega 64 stuff or video game stuff.
Well, we had some stuff. We did do some stuff, but
yeah, a little bit. Top secret. Can't really talk about that. Not going to talk about it.
You guys can talk about. You guys put up the Lucha Underground Friend Dimension. What was that experience like?
Yeah,
we filmed a Friend Dimension with Johnny Mundo of Lucha Underground. We got to go to where they filmed Lucha Underground, which was really cool. The temple, which was, I don't know what that building was before they got it, but it was like the biggest.
It was Cold Storage.
It was literally the biggest building I've ever been in my life. That must have been like a four-story building with no floors. It was just an empty room, and the ceiling was four stories tall, but it's just like
one giant room.
Yeah, that's what everyone – we got some comments on this episode that was like, you guys need to fix the echo. It's like we just showed up to that thing, and they said he's in here, and shoot. And it was like
– But it was it was cool. Everybody at Lucha Underground was really accommodating. Like they took us on a tour. They brought us into the ring. They introduced us to all the wrestlers who were there. They gave us use of their studio. They only had an hour with us, but for that hour, they dedicated all their attention to us.
That's really cool.
It was really cool. Sometimes people are like, we only have an hour, and then they turn their back on you, and you're like, well, why am I here?
Yeah, but they didn't. They were really, really cool.
Yeah, and Johnny Mundo was the nicest guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that guy was awesome.
And he's kind of a heel, isn't he, Brian? Or is he face now?
Well, in Lucha Underground, where he was playing, he plays more of a heel. But he plays whatever throughout the wrestling, wherever he's booked.
Yeah, I could tell based on his personality that he'd be good at both. We did a video on our channel called, it's a Friend Dimension, Sliders. The full Friend Dimension is available on the Patreon. They did a video on their channel, the Lucha Underground channel, where we're cutting promos.
Yeah.
And they're kind of, they're teaching us how to cut promos. And I'm actually bummed out because they cut out my favorite interaction.
Oh, no.
They did?
Oh, yeah. You said something really funny to Johnny Mundo, and he had such a funny response, and they cut it out.
I don't remember
this. What was it?
It was my favorite quote of the whole day. Rocco's talking shit to Johnny Mundo. But what is Rocco going to say to Johnny Mundo?
Right. So he's, I don't,
like,
remember what I did.
He's like looking him up and down, trying to figure out an insult. And he goes, this guy look like Jesus got lost at the Salvation Army.
Isn't that in there?
But then his comeback was so good. He just went, more like Jesus got lost at CrossFit, and then like lifted up his shirt.
Oh, yeah.
And,
like,
and I thought that was so good.
Yeah, I wonder why that was cut.
But that didn't make the final cut. Huh. So, but, you know, also.
Maybe that's a surprise for an upcoming show. They see how ripped he got.
Oh, shit. I spoiled it. No, I don't think they're going to use it. Yeah. You know, we went up there. It was super fun. It was like a fun little jaunt up to LA.
Yeah.
We filmed that like a month or 2 months ago.
Yeah,
actually.
A while ago.
We've been sitting on that for a while.
How was that for you, Brian? I mean, the biggest wrestling fan. Was that what you would hope to have happen?
Yeah. I mean, it was really cool to actually go to the temple and then to be working on that side. And like Derek said, the coolest part was that when we got there, they actually gave us so much of their full attention because, you know, they're busy. They have a lot of press that they were doing that day, but they dedicated that hour to us and they were excited to do everything. So for me, that was the coolest part, was having them be just as involved as we are in it.
That's awesome. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool. And getting to talk to, like, some of the other guys involved in their show. There was, you know, Brian, you knew who he was, but there was someone we talked to at the end who talked about how they do their production and how many, you know, in terms of how they, you know, fill the arena and the kind of stuff they do. He was the brother of, like...
Yeah, so it was the cousin or the uncle. It was Chavo Guerrero.
Okay.
So he was there, and if you don't know who that is, if you guys are not fans of wrestling, that's Eddie Guerrero's, I think, younger cousin or like nephew, I think.
Okay.
Eddie Guerrero 619.
No, that's Rey Mysterio, who just got announced tomorrow is going to be 619 day, Rey Mysterio for 619. So they just announced that in San Diego.
I wonder where they got that idea
booyaka,
from.
Booyaka, dial it up. But the fact that we got to meet somebody like Chavo Guerrero, the Guerrero family in wrestling is such a huge, huge respected family. It's a giant lineage. They've created so much. So to actually get down there and he's so humble and talk to us and explain to the people who don't know what Lucha Underground is, how it works, that was really special to me.
Yeah, he kind of just gave us like a technical rundown of how they do their stuff, and it was really neat. Huh. Like that was I thought, you know, oh, this will be cool, this will be a fun day, but, you know, Brian will probably get more out of this than me, you know, whatever is what I thought. And then when I got there, it was like, this was so fascinating. It was great. So anyway, Lucha Underground, shout out to them. I think their new season just started
on Netflix,
or is starting. I believe it's on the El Rey network, but
so I think Lucha Underground is available on Netflix.
Okay.
On Netflix, but it airs live on the El Rey network. So season 4 is starting either now or has started.
Okay.
And it's going to be picking up from here. I think the previous seasons 1 and 2, and then 3 to come will be on Netflix as well.
Okay. Cool. Well, yeah. Anyway, that was a lot of fun. That was the thing that came out this last week. We did Flame War Theater too. There was a brand new Flame War Theater. Regrettably, I was not there, but I got to see it with fresh eyes as an outsider, and that made me really happy because I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah, Look Here Steakhead was a forum post that blew up in the summer of 2008, and I remember on the message boards, even World of Warcraft, I was so obnoxious. I would just paste that reply to everything. It was just some innocent thing that blew up, and like, it was an honor to, you know, adapt that and bring that to the forefront.
Didn't one of the guys comment on it?
So the character I played, Yeshim, Mine was the one who retorted to the Steakhead comment. He commented on the YouTube comment, like, I can't believe I'm part of internet history. People have been sending me this video all day. So Yesham, the original, like, one of the posters, later saw our video.
Yeah.
So it's amazing that, like, those people are still out there on the internet. And, like, again, Derek fucking has been killing it in these videos.
I thought Derek nailed it.
I was going to say, and I said that was my first reaction, was when we were doing these Shakespeare Theater things, Flame War Theater, I thought, well, you
we're
know,
ripping off Shakespeare Theater.
Yeah, ripping off our own thing, I guess. But I just kind of figured we're always kind of doing the same roles. You know, in my mind, it's always just I'm reading this thing in a proper voice. But what was cool about seeing this is Derek was not the same as he was the week before. Derek had this Quasimodo thing.
Yeah,
it was awesome. I wasn't anticipating that. So when it started, I was like, wow, this is is actually a different, very different take on it, and I loved it. So I thought Derek did such a great job.
Yeah, thank you.
Super fun.
I did go for Quasimodo. Yeah, I'm glad that you picked that up. I said exactly. I want to be like Quasimodo in this. I think that all the credit should go to Frank.
But Frank didn't take credit, so
oh, shit.
I will.
Damn it!
Thank you, everybody. I wrote this and starred in this episode. I hope you liked it. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
So if everybody out there likes, you know, Flame War Theater, I think it's safe to say you probably see some more.
Yeah, and hey, pitch it to your high school. You know, you got to do some spring one acts. You know, do a Flame War Theater in your drama class. Yeah.
And then send it to us.
Yeah, send it to us.
We want to see it.
Let's see these local productions.
Oh, man. So, that was
I am
really
having
cool.
fun going through message boards. It's hard to find threads that like fit this play, but I'm still having fun digging into like 2002 Pokemon forums.
Yeah.
Like it's because it takes me back to being a little kid. Like, oh, it's crazy.
Yeah,
like,
if anybody has anything that they remember like this, send it to Frank.
Yeah,
right?
Frank at Mega64.com.
And then maybe we'll do it.
Yeah, it's having a lot of fun. But yeah, it's good stuff.
That was really cool. I can't wait to do more. There's some fun stuff coming from us very soon. I'm really excited about some of the stuff we got coming out.
It's also convention season's coming. We're building up Anime Expo. Is what, 2 weeks?
Three weeks? So they finally put out the schedule.
Okay.
So Anime Expo, it was a bumpy ride to figure out exactly when and where it was going to be because Anime Expo does it very down to the wire when they debut their schedule. And they've got so many big guests this year. It's a hell of a lineup if you're into that kind of stuff. So of course, amidst all of this Japanese anime and incredible artists, there's us. Our panel is going to be Thursday, July 5th at 8:30 p.m. in LP1, like their main panel room or whatever. So I'm really excited about that. And then of course we have a booth there all weekend, whatever. I think it's like 3722 is the booth, but we'll get all that info. I'm thinking probably the next podcast will debut everything we're going to have there and have all the info and stuff like that. So stay tuned for that. If not sooner, stay tuned for that. We've got some cool stuff to show. So yeah.
Cool.
I'm stoked. I don't know. Anything else to... you know,
promote?
Yeah.
Art Slayers will be recording tomorrow, 10 a.m. Pacific time. So give us a call on Skype. And the latest episode will be going live later today on Monday, June 18th. I always want to promote that because we do a lot better when I promote it and people call in.
Hell yeah.
Our last episode was... we had some technical difficulties, actually. But the episode before that, we had more calls than we could handle.
Oh, wow.
It was great. Awesome. We had so many calls.
Meg
has just alerted me that the new episode is up as I speak, so go check that out. Minus Cruel in the chat says I look sad, so I apologize for that.
Well, you know what they're doing,
Minus.
You realize what Minus Cruel is doing?
No. What's that?
They're just preparing you for the upcoming convention season when people will walk up to the booth and tell you that in person.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
That is our favorite thing. Just to let everyone know, that's our favorite thing. Is when people walk up to the booth and go, "You look sad. How come you look depressed?" Because it's always great to hear from a stranger. You know what I mean?
Like, that you don't look good.
Yeah, I'm almost always in a great mood at these cons and stuff like that. I'm always happy to be there, happy to meet people, and then they'll walk up and go, "You look sad. What's wrong?" Nothing.
For me, I've been standing for 10 hours, and I'm a little tired, but I'm still happy.
Yeah, I'm still happy.
Still happy.
For me, tired. The worst is when somebody comes up, they don't even say anything. They just go, smile.
Yeah.
Well, no.
I don't think...
Even if I wanted to, it's not happening now.
It's not happening now. I don't think anybody likes to hear any of that. Like, and I see it happen to girls way, way more than guys. Why don't you smile? How can we... Oh, how about a smile? You should try smiling.
Ew.
Like,
never say it to
no
a person.
No one wants to hear
never
that.
Never say that. Yeah,
unless you're a photographer or taking pictures, then, you know, say cheese.
Someone in the, Roland in the chat says we should flip it and say that to everyone who comes
you
up to the
smile.
Booth.
Smile. That's a good idea.
That is a good idea. Yeah, you look sad.
Smile. Yeah.
You look sad.
Look sad.
I think girls should reply with whip it out. Frankly, I mean, that will end the conversation, and it kind of gets to the point, right? Because when a guy sees a girl, Meg, you're a female, you can give me this female perspective on this. When a guy sees a girl not smiling and he goes up and he says, you should smile, that's his way of flirting with the girl, right?
Well, remember when we went out that one time and that guy said I looked miserable as shit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah! That was in Boston, right?
Yeah, and then he wanted to buy
you look miserable as shit.
Yeah, he was like, you look miserable as shit, let me buy you a drink. And I'm like,
that's the guy's
no.
way of flirting.
Yeah.
So I feel like...
Why would a guy say that?
Negging.
So if you're flirting, the end point here is for you to show me your penis. That's where this all leads. So let's just cut to the chase. Whip it out. If a guy walks up and says, you should smile... If you respond, let me see your dick. Like, is that a good response?
I think that's incredible.
I
but
feel like
he follows through.
Then you saw a dick.
Then you smile, laugh, and then yeah, you laugh.
Then you humiliate him.
And then you go, thanks, I needed that.
No, you go like this. You go like this, specifically delivered this way. Ready?
Yeah.
I guess you can call that a dick. That's the only way to respond. But yeah, some chuckle fuck guy will not. A person with a conscience, they will be weirded out and they'll leave. But some chuckle fuck is
never said to begin with.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good idea.
You're talking to the weird people who say this shit. Wouldn't say.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Don't provoke. Don't poke the hornet's nest.
Yeah,
people.
All right, guy says smile. Girl says whip it out. Guy whips it out. Girl pulls out her phone, snaps a picture, says thank you, walks away, conversation is done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like let's just make that the standard interaction there.
Okay. And then, yeah.
If someone tells us that we look sad, I'm just going to say, you look sad. And they can have the mirror reflected back on them.
Yeah, what if you are sad and you want to open up?
Be like this. No. Oh, I figured it out.
Say, I look sad, you are sad.
They say you look sad, they say you look sad, and you go, you look ugly. I can cheer up.
Oh
shit!
Big dog Rocco. That'd be on a shirt.
No,
sure.
It wouldn't be.
Come
with a
check
dog,
out
with a dog like this.
That's all I could think of is just that would be a shirt. I'd flex, but I like this shirt. So that's our new design. I already spoiled what designs we're gonna have.
Oh,
at
man.
Anime Expo.
My big dog shirt.
Oh, well.
But, don't joke about it. That's a real idea. Yeah. I'm getting that one day.
Well, anyway, I think we can probably...
Yeah, we can
unless there's anything I'm missing.
I wanted to put a button on Derek's thing. Heart Slayers is on the Mega 64 Archives channel.
Yeah.
Got to promote that because people are seeing us on the main channel. But yeah, check out the Mega 64 Archives channel.
Yeah
we put we got your God of War streams. All the time.
Yeah.
Our E3... press conference commentaries going up there.
The last hour of Mega 64 Day finally just went up today because there was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The last call will blow your mind. There couldn't have been a better way to end Mega 64 Day. Literally, if you wrote it right now, couldn't have done it better.
So did you write it?
I'll let everyone.
For shit?
Well, if they're not going to take credit, I might.
Maybe. Yeah, someone else. Our 3-hour Enter the Matrix stream is up.
Yeah.
If you want to go crazy. So check that out.
A lot of people enjoyed that because a lot of people have positive memories of that game.
I think it came
that game is not good, but it came at a time, I think, it was formative years for a lot of people where it was kind of like such a big media explosion.
Yeah.
Oh, Enter the
Matrix. I remember
Matrix.
That game sucking.
So yeah. Hard. Too. And I, at that time, was Matrix. Anything Matrix, yeah. I ate it up. And I was basically like, yeah, let me slog through this so I can see the cutscenes.
Wasn't there I remember, maybe it's a different game, but I remember, I thought it was Enter the Matrix. I played it at your house, and we put a code in where you just do bullet time all the time. Was that a different Matrix game?
No, it was probably that.
Okay. And even then, it was not fun.
Yeah, that game sucked. But the one cool thing about it was that the Wachowskis filmed more of the movie and added it to the game. And there were scenes done just for the game. And it wasn't like they farmed it out to somebody. Yeah. It was all made by them, canon. And so as a fan, that was awesome. But I didn't want to play the fucking game. I was like, can you just give me... And eventually they put out, when both sequels came out, they put out a full box set and it had all those cutscenes in it. And I was like, okay.
Nice.
There we go. We're set. But a lot of people played a lot of it. So anyway, check out that stream if you get a chance.
Check it out.
Anyway. Thank you.
I think you guys talked about this on the last podcast, but that vampire game?
Yeah.
I was really excited because Frank told me, like, you remember that idea you had for Super Dracula World? They made it into a game. That is not my idea for Super Dracula World.
Oh, that game still exists out there.
You can make it. I played more of it than I should have, but I still feel like I should keep playing more because it hasn't gotten fun yet. Mm-hmm. But, like, too much talking for a vampire game.
That's what I experienced my second playthrough. I was like, oh, man. I was like, it opens, you're fighting all these people. Like, this is fucking cool. And then you're talking a lot of ladies in hospitals, and it's like, all right, can't wait to get back outside.
But I feel like, actually, so I was disappointed at first, but then I think I adjusted my expectations because I realized, like, oh, that's what this game is.
Yeah.
You're not the vampire, you know. This is more the psychological aspect of being a vampire, getting people to trust you, infiltrating their personal lives. That whole thing about, you know, be careful who you let into your life, because if it's a vampire, you'll never be able to get him out. So that was kind of like, well, maybe there's something interesting to that. But it's a very, you know, it's not a big budget game, obviously. Kind of it's kind of hard to get through. They kind of make it hard on you. So, you know, I checked that out. I played about 2 hours of it. I might play a little bit more, but I'll keep you updated.
Vampire.
Did somebody say vampire?
I wrote that joke. That was my joke. Thank you. Good night.
That's not fair to Igor.
It's the middle of the day. Good day.
Good afternoon. Good evening.
You're a vampire. You got to sleep. You got to sleep in the day.